This is Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network, and I'm John Matarazzo. Today I have with me an evangelist, a missionary evangelist, who had an encounter face-to-face with Jesus that changed his life and set him on a course that is quite incredible. So we're going to be hearing some of his testimonies in just a moment, right after this short message.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. During these times, your support has meant everything to us. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. For example, you can get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99 a set. That's a savings of 60% and the lowest price in history. And remember, they're made with the world's best cotton, grown where the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet. They come with my 10-year warranty, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
We want to thank MyPillow for sponsoring the Charisma Podcast Network. Go to MyPillow.com to receive the Giza Dream Sheets for 60% off. You will receive a set for as low as $39.99. Also, for a limited time with any purchase, you will receive Mike's softcover book absolutely free when you use the promo code CHARISMA. Once again, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code CHARISMA or call 800-598-1793 for this amazing offer. This is John Matarazzo for Charisma News, and I am joined by Caleb Wampler of Kingdom Encounters International and also the podcast Awaken the Wonder on the Charisma Podcast Network. And it's a pleasure to have you in the studio, Caleb, to talk about what God has done in your life.
Thank you so much, John, and it's an honor to be with you guys again, and I just so enjoyed our time together last time, but this time face-to-face. So.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you made mention of last time, and you had just come back from a mission trip where you were in Haiti, and you had found out after you had gotten back about some amazing things that had happened. And just to kind of set the groundwork for some of the ministry work that you do, could you just give a summary of what we talked about in that podcast episode?
Yeah, basically we do crusade evangelism all over the world, and we had done a small village crusade in Haiti in a nation, in an area that had never had a gospel presentation. And for those that don't know, there is a voodoo contract with the government in Haiti, and so you can only imagine the supernatural that takes place there. Well, witches run rampant everywhere, and they had been casting spells, and we showed up knowing there was warfare, but without going into the whole story, I guess you can go back and listen to the other episode, but basically we had witches trying to cast spells on us. They saw an inferno of fire around us. They weren't able to cast their spells and look at us in the eye. In fact, one by one, they started giving their lives to Christ, and those witches, we found out later, had been doing voodoo, child sacrifice, cannibalism, and actually eating children in the weeks and months prior to our coming. And those same witches became evangelists and were actually going around the village saying, we don't have the real power. The servants of God that came, God has the real power, and we don't have it. And so they started preaching the message of Jesus after we left.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I definitely encourage people to go check that episode out. We'll try to put that in the show notes so you can just click that. But Caleb, your story goes back quite a ways, and you've been an evangelist for a number of years now. But how did you get started doing that? And tell me about this encounter that you had with Jesus.
Yeah, had a ministry background, always felt a call to evangelism, and ultimately had an opportunity to join with a large ministry where God was doing incredible things around the world. And in that season, I really just started to get a hold of a love and intimacy for Christ first versus just a love for the ministry. And so I started getting up every day at 4 and 5 a.m. to just lock in for a couple hours before 12 and 14-hour work days at the ministry, coming home, passing out, doing it again the next day. And after months of doing this, my secret place just really opened up. I started just hearing from the voice of God and having moments of beautiful encounter. And it led into this Wednesday night service I attended at my home church at the time in Kissimmee, Florida. And my, I remember leaning over to my wife saying, I feel like there's such anticipation for tonight. Do you feel that? And she's like, not necessarily, but like, she's like, but like, okay, we'll believe for something. And I'm like, I don't know why, like something is happening tonight. I could just feel it. There was a guest evangelist there who is, who I didn't know at the time, who has now become a dear friend. And he told me later that it was the worst service he'd ever ministered in. He preached on the Holy Spirit. Nobody got saved. Nobody came to the altars. Nobody got filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, nothing happened in the service. And he said, and then I looked over at you, Caleb, and you were sleeping. I said, no, I wasn't sleeping. I've got to tell you what happened. And ultimately, I started feeling this just weighty glory that just fell on me. And I don't know if you've ever been in the presence of God where it just kind of feels heavy all of a sudden and you're about to just fall over. And that started happening to me. And so I tried to get up eventually and go over to the altar because I wanted to just spend some time at the altar, and I couldn't walk. I ended up passing out on the floor, getting basically slain in the spirit without anybody even touching me or praying for me, and immediately went into this vision, John. And it ended up being the most supernatural encounter of my life at that time, where I'm laying face up in the vision, and I'm in this cloud of white that's all around, this mystical white cloudy room, and I see this figure approaching me in the cloud, and they're coming closer and closer and closer. But as they come closer, I'm immobilized and I couldn't move. It's like I had this like terror inside of me and this excitement, like, they look familiar, but it's like I was kept from recognizing who it was. And so this figure came closer and closer and eventually bent down, kissed me on the forehead. And at the moment of the kiss, my eyes opened up and I realized it was Jesus.
Wow.
Like Jesus standing over me at the time. And he lifts me up and ends up eventually pulling me up into my feet. Until I was kneeling, does this knighting ceremony of some kind, and ultimately has me float up into the air. Now I'm like floating in the air, almost flying, hovering above the ground. Now, and just for context, this felt more real than anything I have ever experienced in my life. Like, as sure as I'm looking at you in this room right now, John, like this was more real than me looking at you in this room right now. I was with him, and in this moment, he ends up taking this deep breath in and blows this breath of air towards me. And as he did, this misty, watery substance started coming towards me. It went into my body, flowed through my entire being, and it was like parts of me that were bloodied, cut up, broken, bruised, the aches, the dried little parts, the parts nothing ever touches, like I was completely touched by the presence of God in every part of my body, and it came out and then washed over the top of me. And immediately I felt like pure, clean, holy, like set up in just this most beautiful way. And he comes to me and he commissions me in this moment in fivefold ministry to do ministry in the nations all around the world. And it was this calling and commissioning moment that ultimately set me up and set what we're doing apart now, as I know. But in the vision, though, he ends up coming to me and he puts his hands over my hands. So my hands were inside of his hands. And he said, these are my hands. This is love. This is me. And I saw the word healing immediately. And I knew I was to begin praying for the sick and to see them recover. And from that moment on, healing ministry just took off. And this was before I was an evangelist, you know, mm-hmm. This is just a believer in Christ. And I remember, then the next thing, he put his hands over my mind and he said, these are my thoughts. This is love. This is me. And I knew immediately, I saw the word prophecy and I was supposed to begin declaring God's thoughts over people to the hearts of men and women and just to declare his thoughts. And prophetic ministry immediately started to take off from that moment forward. And our ministry has been marked with healing and prophetic ministry now all over the world. And I attribute it back to this moment with this commissioning. But what was crazy is if I go into the whole story, I end up crying because I just can't enter into it without thinking of the emotion of the moment. But my wife, anyway, she ends up coming over to me and she's shaking me violently on the ground. And she did this apparently two different times and I didn't even move. And the third time she did it over the course of about 15 minutes, they had been turning the lights off in the church. My son at the time was running all around. She was pregnant. Like, she's just like, you need to get up. Like, like I got work in the morning.
Right, right.
I'm having this encounter. And she's like, I'm having an encounter and you're about to get it. You know, like, it's getting crazy in here. and anyway, she's like, this better be good. I remember her telling me that right after. But at the time, I didn't even know she was there. I didn't even know she had touched me. And the third time she shook me, John, it's like I was sucked back into my body through my nose somehow. And immediately I screamed out at the top of my lungs. Now, I heard people ask, what would you say if Jesus walked into the room right now? I mean, you know, for the viewers that are watching or the listeners listening, think about that. If Jesus was in your car right now or in your room right now, what would you say to him? Would you ask him a question? Or would you, you know, want to know the answer to something you've been pondering? Or I know what I would say, and I said it that day. I screamed it at the top of my lungs, Jesus, don't go.
Mm.
And immediately I heard this echo in my ears. It said, surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Mm. I screamed it again, Jesus, don't go. Surely I'm with you always. Realizing that it was all about him, that he's not leaving just because I don't see him or feel him and I'm not in this encounter with him. Hmm. He's with me right now as sure as he's with all of our listeners and viewers today. And to know that he's with us. This really marked my life. And ultimately, I ended up holding on to that for 7 months, John, without telling anybody outside of my wife and my best friend. So
yeah. And you told me earlier that whenever you did finally tell this to the person that you were working for, they actually setting you out pretty much, which is pretty remarkable because you were a very important assistant at that point.
Yeah, they said, I can't hold on to you. You have to leave. Like, you're burning.
Yeah.
You have to leave. And that was ultimately a turning point in what became this ministry, Kingdom Encounters International.
Yeah. So something that I want to focus in on right now, I want to hear some stories, okay, and just a little bit about, because you said healing and prophecy. So I want to hear how that commissioning has set those up. But I want to talk briefly about the fact that you had this encounter with Jesus, but you were obedient then to actually do something with what he commissioned you to do. Because you took that step. It wasn't just like this experience and it stayed there. Like, it's part of who you are. It's part of your story, but it's something that launched you forward. Can you talk about taking some of those first steps, and then let's get into some of those testimonies?
Yeah, the next day after it happened, my wife tried to ask me that night, and I couldn't even hardly talk. I had to get help to my car because I was so shaken up from this encounter.
Did she drive home?
She drove home.
Yeah, that's good.
And she was asking me all these questions, and I couldn't even hardly talk. I was just tongue-tied, and I'm like, I'll tell you everything in the morning, I promise. But like, I passed out. Next morning, I tell her everything, and like, what do we do with this? Because again, I'm serving at a ministry at the time, and we just both agreed that the person I was working for is a man of God, and we're just like, at the time when it's right, God will reveal it to him. But until then, I'm going to lift up his arms. I'm going to serve and serve well. I'm not going to be disgruntled. I'm just going to do it right and love and serve. And in that season, I began to continue getting up early, stewarding that relationship with the Lord in the secret place, getting up at 4 and 5 in the morning. And in that time, he eventually invited me into a 40-day fast. I went into this 40-day fast, and just my entire life just changed in the moment.
Wow.
And this hunger was coming inside of me that had never been there before. It was almost like I was having my own personal commissioning moment and desert season almost before the launch of the ministry, almost like Jesus had his 40-day.
Yeah.
The same thing was happening with me prior to doing any of this ministry work that we're doing now. And so stewarding that, fasting, praying, being obedient, I started going into gas stations and shopping centers, and suddenly I would just feel these promptings like, pray for that person. We were always just financially barely making it, but it would be like, go pay for that person's gas and tell them the gospel.
Wow.
Like, go over here and pay for this person's meal. And don't just say, you know, paying it forward or what, but like, tell them Jesus loves them, you know? like, don't just say, bless you, but like, say, Jesus has a plan for your life and he loves you. And I begin to speak God's thoughts for people. And when I would go through grocery counters and aisles, like I would really look at the people in the eye and try to minister to them in those little 20-second moments you have while you're paying, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, but that has continued now to this season of life. But it was the start then before we started seeing the masses come to Christ.
Wow. So you really are demonstrating faithfulness at a small level, and so God knows that he can trust you at a bigger level. And now you've been a missionary evangelist to how many different countries?
Yeah, I've ministered in about 30 different countries now.
Wow. I want to hear some stories of healings and how God has used you in the healing and the prophetic, because that is just amazing. I love when God decides to show off that way in signs and wonders, and I want to hear some of that, but also, like, tell me about your experience with that and what you were feeling.
Yeah, you know, we have seen everything now. I feel like with healing from the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, cripples walking, the mute speaking, cancer disappearing, COVID being healed, like any kind of thing that you can imagine or think of with healing, I feel like we've seen it. We have yet to see somebody raised from the dead. We haven't had anybody bring somebody dead to a meeting yet, so we're still waiting for our first opportunity. But outside of that, like we have witnessed God's healing touch across the nations. And I would say that, like, in those moments when we're about to minister to the sick, all of a sudden you just get these Holy Spirit promptings that will just begin to stir in your heart. You'll see a picture of something. Sometimes my body will start hurting in an area, like my right knee will suddenly just start hurting in pain, and I'm like, ow. Well, at first I'd be like, why is this happening? The enemy's attacking me. And I'm like, no, it's actually God revealing through a word of knowledge that somebody has a right knee problem and it feels like it's on fire right now. Is there anybody in the room? Oh, it's you right there. You know, and all of a sudden they're healed on the spot. So the prophetic ministry has really worked in conjunction with the healing ministry. I mean, there's tons of different ones, but one in particular that comes to mind is in Brazil, there was a midnight service that I went to, and I got invited there. It was about 3 a.m. when this pastor and his, the interpreter, the mom, the dad, and their 4-year-old boy who had been sick with cancer, who had been given a death sentence, stage 4, was sentenced to die within the next month. They had tried everything, and they brought this boy to the service. The hospitals made him sign his life, you know, basically that they're not responsible for leaving the hospital, like that they're not liable. And he came. They came in faith because they heard there was a healing evangelist in the area. Now I always find that fascinating. I understand the context, but like I feel like more of like a gospel evangelist because we just preach the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God into salvation. And so without the power of God, it's not the gospel, because that's just part of it. It's in conjunction with. And so we're just preaching Jesus, you know. And so this family comes and combines their faith, and they bring their 4-year-old child there, and it's like, he's going to die. And they say, pray for him. And I'm like, I'm in this room, and everybody just starts bawling their eyes out. And I'm sitting here like waiting for something to rise up inside of me, because I can't make their child better. Like, God's the one that does the miracle. Like, they know he's going to die. The pastor knows he's going to die. The interpreter knows he's going to die. Like, I know he's going to die. Like, he's dead. But like, I'm trying to conjure up any kind of faith miracle prayer I can think of, and for 5 minutes I'm just praying general prayers, praying in the Spirit, and something inside of me rises up, and I said, "Your child will not die in the name of Jesus." I said, "Everything that has been stolen from this child will be returned. The report will be cancer-free in Jesus' name." And as soon as I said it, I was like, "Did I just say that?" Gift of faith just rose up inside of me.
Yeah.
And the laying on of hands through healing, the next child, the next day the child goes back to have the testing, and the report read cancer free. 3 days later, the report read cancer free.
Wow.
7 days later, all the hair grew back on the child. Just everything that had been stolen had been returned back to the child, and the child was completely well. But that's one of my favorite healing stories this day, of just what Jesus has done in the nations. Praise God.
Now, you're a father as well. So this was a few years ago that happened, and you have you know what it's like to have a 4-year-old. Looking at that story now, from a father's perspective, what do you think that was like from his side?
Yeah, they know, I mean, they know that basically they're dead. Their mommy and their daddy love them. And there's some people that they don't know that are praying. And God knows how many other people had probably already prayed mm-hmm. in a church like that, a praying church. And as a father, like looking at my child like that, the desperation that's in my heart, like that I would do anything for them. And they did, literally signing his life. Like they put it in God's hands. Like, this is the last chance. There's this healing evangelist in town from America. Like, if we don't take this chance now, he's dead. And imagining that from the child's point of view, that they know they're going to die, that the child was crying, the parents are crying. I honestly just, my heart is crushed and grieved at the thought of it and the emotion of that, you know. And to know that God can look at a child like that, look at a family like that, to see the power of praying parents and a praying church, to know that God can do anything and that everything is possible for him that believes. And that their, I imagine it was their pursuit and faith and hunger, God's compassion in the moment that moved his heart. You know, it wasn't the prayer of a healing evangelist, but at the same time, you've got to be obedient to declare right. with the power of the words that you speak, you know, and to join your faith with what the Lord is doing. So
that's so encouraging, you know, like sometimes you just have to rise up and be obedient. And as you were telling that story, like you were just doing some general prayers, not really believing necessarily yourself, but you get to this point where something rises up in you and there's this gift of faith that's being unlocked. And that's where that prophetic word for healing came out. And then the doctor's report came back clean. Yeah. You know, Caleb, right now, I don't want to miss this opportunity for you to be able to minister to our audience, whether they're watching or listening, you know, like Caleb, just, I want you to release that gift of faith.
Yeah.
Release something that God's put inside of you for people that are saying, you know what? I don't have that faith.
Yeah.
I don't have that ability to do those things that this guy's talking about. But you know, I haven't had that experience with Jesus where he breathed into my nostrils like that, but you know, but they can still have that gift of faith. I just want you to, however God's leading you right now, I want you to be able to minister right now to our audience here.
Yeah, and I immediately think of the story of Thomas, the disciple, you know, and he finally, I won't believe unless I see. I won't believe unless I see. And he finally sees Jesus, and Jesus tells him that, you know, he's blessed, but blessed are those that don't see and yet believe. And friends, you may be here today, and you may be listening, you may be watching. I don't know where you are right now, and you may say, look, I haven't had anything happen like that. You're actually more blessed than I am. That's what the Bible says, because you haven't seen. And if you will have faith and believe in a God that loves you, that gave his son Jesus for you, you can receive him today and have this encounter with him and just and experience him, but also have this faith imparted into you. Stop looking at the gas prices and the inflation. Stop looking at President Joe Biden and President Donald Trump and President Barack Obama and what the Clintons are doing and what's happening with inflation and the stock market and the recession and like business and money, and just throw it all out for a minute right now and just get God's heart right now. Get his vision right now for your life. And I'm going to pray for an impartation of the gift of faith for you, for eyes that will see beyond your circumstances and to see the word of the Lord. Peter walked on water because he walked on the word of the Lord when all he saw was the water. And so I want to pray over you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just declare right now, open eyes of faith now in the name of Jesus, that people that are listening right now, that are watching right now, that they would just receive an impartation of the gift of faith right now to see past circumstances, to see past the fire that's raging, and to see that you are in the fire, to see past the sea that's storming, and to see that you're parting the sea, to see past Goliath and the giants that are before them, and to see that every giant is falling on its face before them in Jesus' name, to see past the storms and the tide that's in front of them, and that they would walk forward in victory, Lord, upon the water and through the storms in victory in Jesus' name. I pray that they would have faith to believe and stand for miracles right now. And I just declare healing right now over your body in the name of Jesus, that the fire of God would fall over you from head to toe and burn up every disease, every ailment, every cancer, every arthritis, every disease, every infirmity. Go now in Jesus' name. And right now, I also pray that fear would be broken off of your life in Jesus' name. Stop looking to the world, to the politics, to the structures and the systems, and look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who bore the cross. The joy of carrying the cross was you, friends. He carried it with joy because of you. And so I just stand in the gap for you and believe with you right now for breakthrough in your bodies, for healing, deliverance, for every demonic terrorizing thing that has come against you, for night terrors. I break those off now in Jesus' name. May the angels of the Lord just begin to minister to you. And I pray for those that are in impossible situations right now, that you would not lose your faith, but instead the gift of faith would rise up in your hearts, that you would march forward in victory, that you would operate from a place of victory. And I bless you and bless this gift upon you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I can feel that. It got hotter in here. Oh, man. It's been a blessing to be able to hear your testimony. You know, really, the gospel is the good news. And we here at Charisma News want to make sure that we're getting the gospel out here, the good news of Jesus Christ. And you ministering and releasing that word right now is sharing the gospel. And, you know, if somebody's listening and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we want you to reach out to us, and we want to help you to connect with Jesus and take that first step so that you can really walk in that abundant life, and you can walk and not have that fear that Caleb was just talking about. You know, Caleb, as we're wrapping up here, I just want you to be able to, since you have a podcast on our network, I just want people to know what it is that they can expect if they check that out.
Yeah. Our podcast is called Awaken the Wonder, and you can just go to anywhere that you're listening on CPN shows or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our whole premise of the podcast is awakening the wonder of your relationship with Jesus Christ. So we've had everything from guests that have come on, from how to do that with mental health, from how do you do that with seeing in the spirit and the ministry of angels, to healing. And we've had it with interviews, with sermon clips and teachings, as well as spiritual thoughts directly from me that God's putting on my heart. I share a lot of prophetic visions and things that God has released in my life, and just declare those over our audience. And we're there Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, daily. And so, we have over 450 episodes now at the time of this recording. And so I would encourage you to go back into the archives and find a title that God puts on your heart to listen
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. If God's leading you to that one, definitely click play and take a listen to that. Because if you're encouraged by the testimony that Caleb has just shared, he's got a lot more of those. And this is just scratching the surface. But it was great to be able to hear that story of just how God has moved in your life, how Jesus commissioned you, and you're being obedient with what he's called you to do. So, Caleb Wampler, thank you so much for joining us on the Charisma News Podcast.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure.